So every year I get excited to tell people about Peter and feeding the sheep and that reconciling moment that Jesus and Peter have, that I always have ignored this passage. And when I read this passage earlier this week, I thought, we all know about the big guns, don't we? We know about Jesus. We know about Elijah and Elisha. We know about Peter, James, and John. We know about Paul. We know about Stephen. We know all the big names. We know Mary. But it isn't always the big guns that God uses, is it? Because without Ananias, we wouldn't have this story. Without Ananias, who seems to just come into the scriptures in this particular passage, in this particular chapter, and disappear. We don't know what he does in Damascus. We don't know if he lived there. We don't know if he was passing through there. We might get him confused with Ananias and Sapphira, who get killed in chapter 5. But that's not the same Ananias. This is a different Ananias. He's an unknown whom God calls, and he says, "Here I am, here I am." And then this is what God calls him to do. God calls him to go find that man named Saul, that man named Saul who has persecuted, who watched Stephen get stoned to death. He asks him to go see him, lay hands on him, and heal him. A man who has orders from the high priest that if Ananias uses Jesus' name, he can send him to Jerusalem and put him in jail. That's where God sends Ananias. Now, if you were Ananias, wouldn't you kind of be going, "That man? You want me to go lay hands on that man? Are you sure you want to use that man for your glory? Can't we just go strike him dead or something so he doesn't bother us?" We don't get that in scripture. Sorry, that's not there. That's not what he says. But that might have been what was in his heart, that man's evil, Lord. I don't know if I want to go there. He was kind when he said it. He said, "I have heard many things about this man, how much evil he has done." That's his kind of, "Are you sure, Lord?" And God's response, Jesus' response, is "Go." And Ananias goes. How often do we only want to go to people that we think are worthy of hearing God's word? How often do we only want to go where it's safe for us to go to proclaim the message of salvation? How many times do we only want to go and tell our story to people we trust can hear our story and hold our story and love us through our story? How often is it that that's what we want to do? But God may be calling us to be Ananias and to go to someone who maybe we don't think is really of us, or maybe is a little scary, however they may look. You know, they're just not us. They may be a Yankee from New Hampshire. We don't want that. We get comfortable with certain places and certain things that we can do and say and go and grow. But maybe God has a plan for that one we do not know. Or maybe God has a plan for that one we are really mad at. "What do you mean, Lord? I haven't talked to that woman for years. Do you know what she did to me, Lord? And you want me to go and tell her what? That you have a plan for her? Do I have to go?" Those are the hard places we have to go to sometimes. That may be where we're being called to. And if we're faithful, if we're like Ananias, we'll say, "Here I am," and go. But the other part of that is sometimes we want to be a Saul, don't we? We want to be Paul. We want to be the one who gets the big crowds, who can convert thousands just by our words, like Peter did through the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to be in that glory space. Or we think maybe we're not worthy to follow Jesus because we're not. Have you been there? That if I can't speak like Peter or go where Paul went, if I can't be as brave as Mary, then I can't be a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't have the right stuff to do it. God can't use me because I'm just this lowly girl from New Hampshire who didn't really want to follow him. But God can. God uses the Ananiases, who we don't know what his life was before or after or in between. But it was Ananias who did what God called him to do. And I love the words that he says to Saul when he walks in. Now think about it. When he walks in, Saul, who has been the persecutor of Christians, who saw Jesus and got struck blind, got pushed off his donkey or horse or whatever he was riding, and ended up having to be helped into Damascus. So now he can't see. He doesn't know who's around him. He doesn't know if these Christians he's been persecuting might come and harm him. He had to have been afraid. Wouldn't you have been afraid? If you were now unable to see what was in your environment and to know that you were safe. And he has this dream that this man's going to come and lay hands on him. He's probably wondering, and then do what else? This is Paul's transformation by God isn't just an easy, simple thing. This is, think about the trauma this man is going through, being blind, being amongst people he has persecuted. This is a traumatic moment of transformation. And Ananias' words, our brother Saul. Brother Saul. Not only were they, maybe I hear a comforting voice coming out of Ananias, seeing this man as he walks in, probably not near the stature that, I don't know how you envision Paul, but I always envision Paul as this big, strong man. But he may have been kind of drawn within himself because everything had been challenged in his life in those past 3 days. And Ananias saying, brother Saul. Not only did he call his name, but he brought him into the family. He brought him into the family of God. Brother Saul. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way, has sent me. So he's not only calling him and bringing him in, but bringing him words of comfort and grounding. Because this happened. He had a vision that this would happen. Now Ananias is using words to confirm, using words to take a man who has been in the midst of this transformational experience with the power of the Holy Spirit and the visitation by Jesus to, okay, we're here. I'm here. I'm your brother. God sent me. You're going to be healed and you are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this whole scene culminates with Saul's baptism. So I imagine as he moved from that life he lived before, and he died to it in the waters, and he rose again as a new birth, a new creation. And the anxiety and the trauma and the midst of that transformation fell away. So that he hung around and he got to get fed by those disciples and began to preach. And what did he preach? What were the first words that he said? That he is the Son of God. And in each of these scriptures we've heard this morning, whether it was the fishermen on the sea or Paul and Ananias in Damascus, at some point the community gathers around a table. So we are going to gather around a table this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.